Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hi everyone, I want to step in before the episode begins just to make a little announcement. Here at Tender Love and Care, we pre-record our podcast episodes several weeks before they air. And this week's episode covers toddlers and tiaras. This is being released on the 7th of June 2022, roughly a month after the tragic suicide of 16-year-old Kalia Posey, a previous star of Toddlers and Tiaras. Although Kalia's episode is not mentioned by us, we feel it is important to mention her here and be sensitive to the fact that some of our comments in this episode may be triggering for anyone dealing with Kalia's untimely passing. If you are dealing with any type of mental health struggles, please know that there is help out there. We will include information in the show notes for organisations that are available 24/7 to turn to. Hello and welcome to the 15th episode of Tender Loving Care? With your host myself, Pauline, and my darling Kate. Every week, Kate and I break down two shows from the TLC network. The name of the network that I believe for the longest time was an acronym for Tender Loving Care. And when I found out that it actually stood for the Learning Channel and I saw the types of shows that were on that channel, my deep confusion bred this podcast. Each week, Kate and I will randomly select two shows to cover for the next episode by spinning the Wheel of Shame, which has all 113 and counting shows that we will be studying. Hello, Kate.
Hi, Pauline. Thanks for being up for this, even though you're feeling a little under the weather.
No. Just a little, I would say PSA, BTS, whatever. So dear listeners, you know, the strength of your support, the strength of the knowledge that Kate and I know we have to get our opinions out to the masses is what's getting me through the show tonight. So we're recording right now on a Wednesday, and on Friday I was at a get together with a friend. The friend then texts me on Saturday and says, spadoodio, I've tested positive for COVID. Obviously, we're all vaccinated, but because we're not morons. So I went and took a test, nothing. And then you don't know whether it's psychosomatic or not, because there was a little tickle in the throat, just a little tickle. And I thought, you know what? That's fine. That was on Sunday. I was like, I'm all right. Then the tiredness hit. And the tiredness, I was sleeping like 9 hours. 10 hours and exhausted waking up. And I'm like, it's okay, I'm probably pregnant. Kidding, I'm not pregnant. But I was like, okay, it's fine, it's fine, right? Repeat, it's fine. Yeah. On Monday.
Yeah.
Ooh. A little bit more coming in. Probably just allergies, right? Tuesday. Mm-hmm. I'm not taking a test because I'm not going to have COVID, right? We're now on Wednesday and Pollyanna had a rough night. Last night on Tuesday, I'd got this nice bottle of wine and I thought I'll have this because I wanted to finish this documentary about a man that was found with no heart, which I did pass on to Kate, which we can talk about. But I thought I want to finish it. I have a glass of wine with it. Kate, I couldn't even drink wine. I mean,
oh, you are sick.
Yeah. Thank you for that delayed pause and then reaction because it was dramatic. I thought I don't even fancy a glass of wine.
Wow. Huh.
It was 9 o'clock and Pollyanna went to bed. And I was like, it's okay. I'm all right. Wake up this morning. Not good. So I don't know how anybody else deals with being sick. But when I'm actually sick or pretty sure in this case that I am actually quite sick, I just go into denial that I think you can just utterly push through anything mind over matter. So I was probably the most proactive that I've been and productive that I've been this entire week. Today I was sweating, I was hot, I had a sore throat, I was exhausted. I'm like, no, keep going, get it all done.
That seems
got
British.
The pod tonight. I'm fine, you see, I'm fine. It is quite British. Right now I'm sat here.
Yeah.
I feel like shit, like I feel terrible.
You look great.
I have a little neckerchief on. My hair's in a little pineapple pom, and I got myself a glass of wine because this is my theory. If I can drink wine, then I'm okay. So okay. I have the wine here. I'm going to drink it and I'm going to figure it out later.
Yeah. I feel like that's what they did in like the Middle Ages or like, it's like, oh, just drink a gallon of red wine and move on.
That's what my ancestors did.
Yeah.
It's fine. Yeah. It's fine. So that's kind of my plan at the moment. I am glad that I'm a little bit loopy-doop from illness, possible illness, to get through the show that we need to get through today.
Oh, Kate, I'm on my third
I'm going to hand this over to you because you're on your third. Okay, yeah, I'm just starting my first, but I do possibly have a disease that caused a pandemic. So between us, we're feeling the right type of way to prepare ourselves for this shit show. So yeah. tell the listeners what's going on after last week's Wheel of Shame.
Okay, so if you listened to last week's episode, you would know that we spun the Wheel of Shame and we spun two shows. We got Toddlers and Tiaras and then the other one, what was it, Pauline? It was
It was the plural, yes. Still seeking,
sister wife.
The plural. Mm.
It was some seeking plural, sister wife.
I don't know what it was. It was a spin-off of Seeking Sister Wife.
We could not find anything about that. So we just stuck with Toddlers and Tiaras, which is something that we can talk about a lot. So we watched several episodes of that. And here is the description that TLC gives this horrid show. This funny and sometimes startling reality series takes viewers behind the scenes of the shockingly competitive world of child beauty pageants, presenting a warts and all portrait of the wee contestants wearing makeup, spray tans, and fake hair, as well as their fanatically driven parents.
I would like to note that I did appreciate your dramatic reading there. Kate and I, you know, we've decided now when we read the synopsis of these shows, it's full dramatic reading. So I appreciate that. Description was lacking a lot. For example, child abuse. The most horrific thing that's ever been on television. List can go on.
Very disturbing uses of money. There's a lot. Unpack.
There is. So Kate and I didn't discuss it as the week or during the week, as we said, hashtag save for the potty. So we chose 4 episodes, okay? And some of these actually, if you remember, if you're a listener, we had done Toddlers and Tiaras, Where Are They Now? A couple of episodes back. That's why we were so shocked when we ended up with this. Like, the unforgiving wheel of shame just threw this at us a couple of weeks later. But in this one, we picked 4 episodes, and they do actually consist of a couple of the ones that were on the follow-up. Mm-hmm. So, and we're doing it in reverse order, but that's what it was like. So we picked 4, and we had... from various seasons, because there's 9 seasons. And my big thing, Kate, was like, I didn't even know, do they still make this? So I looked, they don't still make this show, thank God, as far as I can see.
No.
I'm hoping that we can actually serve some social justice, and hopefully this podcast and our description of what the show is will force TLC to remove it. Because Wyatt is still... online for people to watch in 2022 is mind-boggling. It is, as we said the other week, we kind of know what why it's still up there, because I'm sure they have a lot of viewers still, the wrong type of viewers, and us. But I'm hoping that this podcast episode is going to change TLC's mind, because it cannot still be on television, Kate. It cannot be viewed. It shouldn't be viewed by anyone at this point.
I mean, this is the show that should be scrubbed from the internet of all the show. Like, we always come across shows and we're like, where are they? This should be the show that we were like, oh, it's nowhere to be found, because it's so horrible. I legitimately cried like 3 times watching these, just out of horror and sadness.
It is. I mean, it's... obviously, we this potty is intended to be jovial and to be light, and we do touch on some serious subjects at times. This show is just so horrible, and that's such an easy word and a less violent word than I want to use for what it displays. You're seeing, we had to watch fucking children crying in like 4 episodes because they were forced to do something they didn't want. These monstrous parents. If I'm sure the majority of people that are listening to this have not watched this show, but you don't need to imagine, to know, you know, what it's all about. It was so controversial at the time. Once again, why it is still on TV and accessible, I don't know. But everyone knows that there's spray tans, they put fake teeth in these kids, that they dress them up as adults, that they have them in provocative wear to dance in front of strangers. And it's people are still going to these pageants every fucking weekend. It's disgusting.
In my research, I saw there was one mom who dressed her daughter up as Dolly Parton, and she put like C-cup boobs on her and butt padding.
Yep.
And this was like a 4 or 5 year old. It was so disturbing. So there is a lot of controversy really surrounding this show. Of course,
like a lot. And Kate and I will go into it, and we're not gonna make it as depressing as it actually is watching the show. But Kate and I are both heavily medicated at this point, having to go through this. So I think we should start. So the first, we decided 4 episodes. So the first episode we chose was the last season, season 9, episode 1, 2016. And what I think they did here, Kate, is they knew this had been on for 9 seasons. They must have had so much backlash that I think they decided to kind of switch the format a little bit. So they had Cambry and Jamie are 2 coaches, and they're like rival coaches. And they kind of focused a lot more on the politics between those two and their girls being against the other girls and stuff like that. So you had Cambry. Now, she looked like, to me, a dark-haired Dallas cheerleader kind of look. She was in Vegas, and she says that she coaches kids like all over the world, from like Spain to Australia, and she does it virtually. And then she has these kids that come to her to train that are called Cambry's Court. Now, she gave me vibes of Dance Mums, like Abby Lee.
Very much so.
Yeah.
She was the fancier one, and then Jamie was sort of the more hokey pokey one.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, I don't know if you noticed that in every interview Cambry did, she had like a clear, she had a drink with her in every single episode, in every single interview. And the more I looked, it was like a clear Starbucks coffee cup filled with ice and white wine. Did you notice that?
I didn't even see that at all, but that makes perfect sense. That fits with her character.
Every single scene, I was like, oh, there she goes. And even when she's at these competitions, she constantly got a drink in her hand. And I'm like, there's something going on there. And then we had Jamie, who was in Phoenix, and she had the Cersei Supremes. And I mean, you kind of imagine what they're like. They were like dance coaches and competitive, and TLC was building up this rivalry between the both of them. I will tell you that in one of the opening scenes that I can't remember. No, it was Cambry. Cambry said, quote, "You need to have a good body even at 5. So I'll just leave that there. In this one, there was a girl called Callan. Some of the names of these kids, by the way, is just too much. If you thought I was confused before about American names, I watched Toddlers and Tiaras and I'm like, I don't know what any of this is. Girl called Callan, 4 years old. Megan is the mum. This little girl, so they do that. They're filming at the house, first of all, like talking about them getting prepped for the show. This Callan is so ill that she just vomited all over her mother, like twice. And her mother's like, well, you gotta be well enough to get on, to get onto the competition. Quote, do your sassy walk. This girl was 4 years old and vomiting over her mother. She was so sick. And she's like, do your sassy walk. And then she was wearing a t-shirt that said hot mess on it. She's 4 years old.
It was awful. That's how I started. This is my first episode of watching Toddlers and Tiaras, by the way. So this is my entry into this show, is this 4-year-old girl projectile vomiting on her mom, and her mom being like, we've spent so much money on this, we have to go. And then Jamie comes over and for a coaching session, and the first words out of her mouth I thought were pretty shocking. Are you ready to practice and get brown? Let's get you super, super brown. Get brown to win the crown.
Get brown to win the crown. Yep. Yep.
Yikes.
Yep. And yep. Yeah. You're right. I totally forgot about that. Yeah. That was dark. No pun intended. And the amount of money, like, we're going to get into that later on, but the entrance fees, the flights, the time, the hotel rooms, then you've got the costumes, you've got the makeup, they have makeup artists. There was so much that struck me about all of this. And one of the things were, like, if you can imagine the worst way to spend your weekend is a Hilton Inn in somewhere in the middle of Texas in 90 degree heat in a room all day with a ton of kids. That's what these parents go out and do with these children weekend after weekend after weekend. And their entire life is surrounding these pageants and surrounding these kids and surrounding them winning. And I'm just thinking, are they not thinking about, oh, this weekend, you know, I'm going to go out for my friend's birthday, or God, I've got to think about Monday when I get back to work. No. It's these miserable existence in these hotel conference rooms, watching your kid get dressed up and fighting with other parents. It is otherworldly to watch this. You cannot believe that these are people's lives.
It's really... it was like gross. It was insane to me how seriously they were taking these pageants for 3-year-old, 2-year-old, 3-year-old. Some of them are babies, and they're talking about it as if it's the Super Bowl.
It's insane. I mean, we're really not exaggerating here. That is the thing that struck me. It's like there isn't any levity with it. these people are so intense. And this little girl, this other one was called Celise, who was 3 years old, and her mum, oh God, Kim, she was in Phoenix, and the mum said, I have a hole in my tooth and I'm not getting dental work because I'd rather pay for these pageants. And I really believe that these parents think they're doing something great for their children. A lot of them, I think, do truly believe that. And time again, it's like, you know, it builds these same old excuses. It builds confidence. They like being on the stage. Well, get them into an acting class. Get them into an acting class in their local home theater. You know, home theater groups, hometown theater groups. That boosts confidence. That teaches discipline. Not putting wigs on them and false eyelashes on a three-year-old. It's... Oh, God, okay.
I know. The other girl on this... Or one of the other girls on this episode is Lily. She's 4 years old. And they all have these sassy intro lines in their interview. She goes, I'll light that stage on fire. I'll burn that stage down. I'll set it on fire. And this mom tells us that they've spent $45,000 on her. The husband is an oil mechanic. He's home 1 week a month. And she goes, we make a lot of sacrifices for her to have a good life. I was like, what about a college fund, vacation?
That's exactly what I thought.
Cardboard box.
I know. $45,000 to drag a child from one shitty town in America to another shitty town in America in these hotels to get stared at by men, to get judged by strangers. Why don't you use that money and go and take them to the Colosseum and give them education on ancient history? No. Let's go to Fort Worth for the weekend. Kate, I was so angry.
I know. And it's the thing too, is like when you are that young, you don't know what you like. So mm-hmm. them saying, oh, she loves being on stage and wearing all this crap and like getting a spray tan and stuff. No, she doesn't. You like it. And she wants to please you. So she's saying that she likes it too.
And some of them are 2 years old. I mean, they don't have a functioning vocabulary to express anything apart from when they're so exhausted they're in floods of tears and these parents are shoving them on. That was just so hard, honestly, guys. Like, we're trying to keep this light this week, but this was just, we need to do the show to if we can create some type of petition, I'm dead serious, to get this off streaming on TLC, we should. Something good should have come of us having to watch this shit show, because it is appalling that this is still on television and accessible. It really, really is. I mean, they got rid of, like, we can't even find, what, some of those shows we got, like Clean Busters or something like that, we can't even find online. Yeah. You can find this. It's gross. And then, I mean, CPS, the Child Protective Services, should have been called for just some of these scenes. And I kept thinking about, you know, I don't believe, by the way, I don't believe Jeff the PA was a part of this production. He would not do this. I don't think Jeff will go to this.
He walked off. Yeah.
He walked off. That's the only, Jeff has so many morals. Like, he will strip for people in a living room in small town Georgia. He will go to a lot of lengths, but this, Jeff said no. Jeff,
this is beyond the pale. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Cambry.
Go ahead on kind of what else happened in this episode.
So she is more, she charges $150 an hour for her coaching, and she tells the camera, Jamie only charges $50, but you're not going to learn anything. And then at one point she squats and whispers to Lily, there is a team called the Sassy Supremes, and we have to beat them. Are you going to beat them? And I was like, yuck, get a grip, lady. Mm-hmm. And then Jacqueline's 5 years old. She has a super young mom named Sylvia, I think, which, you know, judgment, but I just noticed. I was like, oh, wow. The mom says, people don't understand pageants unless you live the pageant lifestyle. And I was like, no, I think people understand it.
Well, if we're talking about mums, should we mention Kim? Now, Kim was Celise's mother. And she is someone that, this is the one that has a hole in her tooth. So she is obsessed with her child, you know, being in these pageants. And she's one of those women that is so highly strung. And I mean, has a very, this is not me saying she was participating in this activity. I'm saying how you would mimic a meth addict is the kind of energy that Kim had. I am not associating meth addiction and Kim. I am not. What I'm saying is that Kim was constantly like stroking her face and her chin and agitated, constantly pulling her hair back, then pulling it back and pulling it the other side, and just so stressful to watch. And then she got kicked. She was on Jamie's like coaching team, and she got kicked off that, and then was trying to get onto Cambry's because she wants her kid to succeed. And it was just all her, like, no one really liked her and wanted her off one team. And then she's like, now my kid doesn't have a coach, and what am I going to do? And I just can't imagine being that fucking invested in all of this. Like, no. It was her life. It was just so, all your money, all your time. And this isn't like, you know, I understand that I've heard horror stories about parents here that have their kids in like football and like soccer and stuff that takes weekends away and you're traveling with them, but they do. But I understand that more so because it's a team sport that has many, many benefits. Plus the majority of people do it so they can get a scholarship into university. This isn't for anything. If you want them to be a model, you want them to be an actress or actor, get them into local theater, then do something that is productive. And a hell of a lot less hassle and cheaper than this. It just, none of it makes sense to me. None of it. And maybe I should be happy that none of it makes sense to me.
Well, and I think a lot of it is about the money, because they would also interview the people running the pageants. And yeah. One of them said, this takes a lot of money. If you don't have the funds, you should find a different hobby. It's about who can spend the most on a sparkly dress. And that's not talent. That's just, oh, daddy has a lot of money. Like,
but they don't. You see the houses they live in? A lot of them don't. They don't get dental work so they can pay for it. None of it. Like, we're trying to explain the inexplicable here. We really are. I mean, so this one first show, it was basically about the rivalry of the coaches, and they had drama between the adults, which I thought, okay, that lessens the blow of them putting the eyelashes on the children, doing these glamour shots that they do where they basically airbrush these children's faces to look like adults just shrunk down with big hair. It's just all JonBenet. It's just, imagine JonBenet. Mm-hmm. It's all like that. So that was the kind of drama on that. And I was like, okay, it is a little bit manageable if it's more about adults and the children. But these children were shoved on the stage, usual stuff. The second episode was Universal Royalty, season 2, episode 1. Now this one, the mother, there is one mother that comes on and she has twins, Brianne and Ashlyn. Kate?
Kate.
This woman, I didn't even write down her name because she's such a monster. She had 4 children, all of them in pageants, right? She has 5. 2 twins, then 5. She had 5 kids, all of them in pageants. She used to do pageantry stuff when she was younger, apparently. That's a running theme as well. A lot of them have, which is to be expected. So the 2 twins are Brianne and Ashlyn. They're not identical. Straight out the gate, the mother, unabashedly... Well, Brianne is the pretty one. Ashlyn, she kind of has a big nose. She doesn't have a lot of confidence. She gets on stage, she's hunched over. Brianne is the winner. I don't expect Ashlyn to ever place. It went on and on and on with this child. It was horrendous.
It was so abhorrent. Brianne is fabulous and full of life, and Ashlyn is just Ashlyn.
What? It didn't stop the competition between the two. And this little girl, Ashlyn, was just a quiet little girl. And she was constantly being told that she was nothing compared to... I mean, this woman wasn't even trying to gloss over it or hide it.
No.
She was just very much like, she's just not that pretty. She doesn't do that well. And if she places, I'm surprised. She has a big nose. She's not... And by the way, they're about five or something. I don't know how old they were, but they were like five or six.
Mm-hmm.
It was so disgusting to watch. And all I can hope is that these horrendous mothers got a ton of backlash. I just really, really hope they did, because she deserves it the way she... And Ashlyn even had a dress that was like, it was all, it was ripped. So she berates the child. Why did you rip this? How did you rip this? Well, we're not getting it fixed. Let's focus on Brienne. It's just... I mean, I didn't want to discuss it so much anymore. It was so awful. It really was just terrible the way she treated them.
Well, and remember the husband... The husband hated the pageant stuff and seemingly hated the wife. They didn't seem to like each other.
There was a lot of that. Yeah. There was a lot of that. There's just a lot of men in white t-shirts with generic kind of like beer brands on them and baseball caps turning up. That's kind of what they all look like. And then we had the little bit of comedy here with Eden now. Eden Wood is everything that you imagine as a pageant girl. Blonde, just looks like Little Miss Piggy. That's the only way I can got that southern accent, a little piggy nose. She just, and she's the star. Now, she, what we did cover her, she was in our episode Toddlers and Tiaras, Where Are They Now? And she still seems really unpleasant. She was a surprise baby. The mother didn't think she was going to get pregnant. Apparently she went to Jamaica and came back and she was pregnant, so you know, magic was made there with my husband. But she's like a legend in the pageantry world, and she became very, very well known from this. And didn't you say there was a spin-off with her, Kate?
There was. It was called Eden's World. I think it only lasted one season, but she did get her own TLC spin-off.
And the amount that her mother spent was between $65,000 and $70,000. That would pay for a lot of trips to Jamaica. I mean, it really would. It was. And the dresses were just these. I mean, the cheapest one she had was like $1,200. You know, it was just a lavish amount. Of course, she's just spoiled. Rotten, just completely, imagine. She just fills every stereotype. Little pink dress, looks like Little Miss Piggy, and was a monster. So that was kind of her.
Wait. The puppets, go. Though. The hand puppets.
Oh, that was quite good. I really actually like that.
Her mom, to calm her down when she's getting upset, puts a little wig on one of her hands and has a boy and a girl hand puppet that are called Billy Bob and Bobby Sue. And Eden refers to them as her best friends. And I was like, why do I feel like her mom still does the puppets for her?
And why did I feel like I was in an episode of, what is it on HBO? Righteous Gems. Billy Bob and Bobby Sue. You must have seen Righteous Gems, right?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah. It was literally like Bobby Sue, Billy Bob and Bobby Sue, Billy Bob and Bobby Sue. I mean, to me, I just thought these were all works of fiction. I didn't think any of this existed in America. And then I realized it actually does. And I don't know what to do with that. Billy Bob and Bobby Sue.
You know what? This reminds me of like Best in Show. Like, it seems like it should be a Christopher Guest movie.
Oh, dream.
That's how dramatic these people are. Yeah.
Yeah. They're just complete caricatures of themselves. And they're just, if they weren't so deeply unpleasant, like, and morally bereft, you would think it would be comical. It really would be comical. But there's just so much horrendous behavior towards children that it's like illegal. And I don't know why, once again, why TLC is still having this on their network. To follow up to talking about horrendous parents, this woman had a 2-week old baby. This is where I cried. This woman had a little boy that was maybe about five or something, that he does pageants, and she had given birth 2 weeks ago. This tiny, innocent, little human being that is at the point where their eyes can't even see color. They can just see black and white. He can't hold his head up. He can't, you know, he's just an innocent, sweet little soul that probably weighs less than my Pomeranian. And she's like, I'm going to dress him up and put him in a pageant. Now, I don't have children. Kay doesn't have children. We've never given birth. But I would presume, from all of my friends and everyone that I know has had children, 2 weeks after you've given birth, your priority is certainly is not going in a car ride for like 12 hours to go to a Holiday Inn to go to a pageant.
I mean, the stitches are not even healed. Just say that.
Oh, God.
I mean, so at one point she's wondering if Kavin, the newborn baby, will have stage presence. No, he's probably just going to sit in your arms and fart. And like,
I know
he can't even see that far ahead of him.
That's what she said.
Just in your tummy. Yeah.
We'll see if he has stage presence. He should be at home in his nursery, in his house, making sure he's sleeping enough, making sure he's getting fed, making sure he's staying alive. And she's in some fucking hotel in the middle of nowhere, putting him on stage in front of bright lights, camera flashes, which can completely damage their eyesight. I just cried. I was so angry. I was so disgusted. I just...
And at
it's
one point,
really
she's
hard.
She's lamenting the fact that she didn't have girls because it's so much more exciting to have pageant girls. And she kind of insinuates that she's going to keep having children until she has a girl. And she says, you can't really prepare a child as young as Kavin, the newborn, physically and mentally for a pageant. You just get the outfits together. And it's like, oh, you don't say. You don't say. You can't mentally prepare
your
2-week-old baby.
2 weeks old. Surely, as a woman, you're still like, you're right, the stitches haven't healed. You probably, I don't know, can you even walk upright? Like, aren't you just, your hormones are everywhere. You probably still have an extended, like, uterus from just giving birth. And you are on stage pushing a child. Oh, I can't. Okay, we need to move on from that one. That was one that really made me cry. I can't with that one.
Yeah.
Okay, what's the next one, Kate?
Okay, this is season 5, episode 1, Darling Divas. It's the Darling Divas pageant in New York City. First we have Paisley, okay?
Oh, God.
Paisley is 3 years old, and she is somewhat notorious in the pageant scene and on the internet because her mom decided to make her a Pretty Woman costume based on the Julia Roberts costume, where it's like the white and blue dress with the boots. Okay.
Yep. And that was what we had discussed in our when we did Where Are They Now. This was one that they featured her.
Yeah. So she did that at a pageant, and they got a lot of flack for this online.
Mm-hmm.
I have an article.
Go on, Kate. Go on. Come on. Get that journalistic spirit out.
I have an article from the Daily Mail, of course.
No. Hang on. Listeners, you know Kate's tireless research into these Z-list reality stars. She's going to the very tippity top is maybe being starcasm.net. Like, those are the best type of website she's going to. And we always said, if only we could get to the dizzying heights of the Daily Mail. The dizzying heights of the Daily Mail. So we've got there.
Well, and I want to also say there were other options for articles for this because there were so many articles. But I went to the best. Not such a pretty woman. Mother dresses girl age 3 as prostitute in toddlers and tiaras pageant.
Oh my God.
The Parents Television Council has reacted with outrage over a preview of the latest episode of Toddlers and Tiaras that sees a three-year-old dressed as a prostitute. According to RadarOnline.com, the PTC said, "We have a serious problem when a network formerly known as the Learning Channel features a toddler who probably hasn't even learned to read, dressed as a prostitute, showing off her sexy strut." A preview of the show reveals the disturbing sight of three-year-old Paisley dressed as the one-time drug-using streetwalker Vivian Ward.
Daily Mail pulls no punches. They pull no punches. so proud to be English right now. So proud of the Daily Mail. We had mentioned that. I mean, it was so... You know, that was the Daily Mail brought up something there that it was, with all of the list of things that were disturbing about watching the show, Kate, the amount of time the word sexy was put next to a child when they're talking about a child really, really got me. There was one in the next episode that we'll discuss. It just said, quote, "I don't want the little kids to look too sexy."
It's disgusting. And if they weren't saying sexy, they were saying kind of coded language that meant sexy. Mm. They would say, "Do your sassy walk.
Sassy.
Do your diva walk." Mm-hmm. And shake your butt. Mm-hmm. And what they mean is like swing your hips side to side and, you know, move your body in this way that is appealing to men. Like, that is what
it's
it
all
is.
Provocative.
And it's so gross.
It's all sexually provocative. They're meant to, you see these girls and they're being taught the way to move their hips when they don't even have any. You know, they're told to, the way they're supposed to bend over and move. And it's honestly as horrific as we're describing it. Like, it's terrible.
Also, she has an agent named Blake Woodruff.
No, let's not. Let's not with Blake. Let's not with Blake.
And
Blake, you're not, I've news for you. You're not an agent. No, sorry, talent manager. You are, he goes, I'm one of the top talent managers in New York City. I thought, are you? Are you, Blake? I don't think so. I don't think you are. I'll bet my last dollar that you're not.
He's so clearly trying to rehab her image, which is so ridiculous to say because she's 3 years old. He goes, "Oh, well, you know, she's more conservative. You know, she's definitely like a Jackie O as opposed to a Marilyn."
Oh, God.
And at one point they're dressing her up in her outfit for her. This is sort of a category that's like wear what you want. And they call it the Sex in the City outfit. Oh, God. And Blake says, "She's got a Samantha attitude with a Carrie outfit." And it is like this shirt with a mesh belly. And then there's like a skirt and it rips away. And it's pants with like mesh that shows her leg. And it's
a garter.
Very,
it was like
a garter.
It was like the trouser stopped. And then it had like a garter belt.
I looked up his Twitter.
Oh, yes. And...
this is his bio.
Okay.
"Laughing is my cardio. Been on TV. Or excuse me. Been on TV emoji. Love adventures. Born in Georgia. Raised in NYC. Living in LA." He hasn't tweeted since 2018, which I haven't either really. But he is a Roni stan.
Oh, hang on. I'm full conflicted. Hang on. Ooh, whoa there. Roni, Real Housewives of New York, is one of the greatest things that's ever been put into existence. So I'm having a hard time. Blake, listen, I have a lot of merch on my Etsy, A Brit in the Sun, that has a lot of Roni. So if you want to head over there and purchase a large quantity, we'll think about issuing a retraction about the comments we made about you. So think about it, Blake. Think on it.
Yeah, he just seemed like a very opportunist guy. I don't know.
I don't know what else to say about him.
Yeah, it was, and he was there at the pageant and being like, that's our girl. And yeah, he just wanted to be on TV, to be honest. Yeah. But he's in LA now, so maybe I'll bump into him. Isabella was from NYC, and her mother, we saw, this was another one that was in Toddlers and Tiaras, Where Are They Now? This is the one you'll remember, darling listeners, if you listened to that previous episode, is the mother that took 3 sugar packets that you would use to put into coffee or whatever, into drinks, and just poured them directly into her child's mouth. And that was to get her energy. She goes, there's no point giving them candy because it's full of other stuff. As though she's like, oh, I'm not going to allow her to have pixie sticks because of the dyes that are in it. Just give her the direct sugar.
She said direct sugar, direct energy. Okay.
Yep. And she was desperate to get her daughter to be a kind of, to be a brand. And I think when we caught up with her, she was the one that the daughter now had claimed to be a millionaire by the time she was 7 or something. Wasn't it this one, Kate? Do you remember?
Yes. So yeah. I had kind of forgotten about that. And I have notes here because her mom is like, who knows? We could spin this into a jewelry line or, you know, a candy line or whatever. And I wrote notes and I'm like, okay. And then I looked up her Instagram and I was like, oh, she does have a jewelry line.
Yeah, she does.
She has.
I mean, it doesn't mean it's selling, but she does. Yeah.
She has a jewelry line, a skincare line, and apparently a modeling career. Her Instagram bio, designer/model/entrepreneur/millionaire/host/actress/YouTuber/next big thing, NYC, Amazon Prime, Snapchat, House Beretti.
And isn't she, and she's like 15 or something.
Yeah. Now. She's like a girl boss. Yeah.
Yeah, and she's, I know, because I remember when we did Where Are They Now, I looked at that Instagram too, and she was at the Nickelodeon, like, Kids' Choice Awards or whatever it is.
Yep.
So she's still out there, you know, really trying to get into it. And who knows, if she was a millionaire at 7, I'm sure her mother took most of it, but who knows? This was also the woman that said when the girl came back into the room, she said, you messed up. Why? Why did you mess up? Just berating her, this little girl.
Yeah, because she kind of froze on stage during her talent portion. It was a dance, and she, you know, and this happens. I was in dance recitals growing up, and sometimes you just freeze and you kind of forget what you're doing. And that's what happened. And they get back to the hotel room, and the mom says, why did you go on stage and blow it like that, baby?
Yeah.
And then she's talking to everyone else in the room, the family. She totally blew the whole routine.
I know.
This would wreck me if my parents said this to me.
I am such a sensitive person, which was always, I could do a complete rant about how people use the word sensitive in such a negative connotation. It's a wonderful thing to be, but people would always, you know, people love to degrade you by saying, or attempt to degrade you or diminish your feelings by saying you're too sensitive. When they're just saying terrible things to you and you're reacting because they're terrible things. So, you know, I would have been, I couldn't even tell you what that would have done to me. And this girl was so used to it because I'm sure she was being told that from a very, very young age, just kind of washed over her, just completely washed over her.
I put the it in Italian, baby. I'm here to beat Paisley. That. It was just so intense.
It was a lot. Anything else to say about that episode, Kate?
Well, we didn't talk about Cheyenne and her mom, Trisma.
You better not cry. Are you crying? You better not cry.
I did cry during this. And the moment I cried was when they're interviewing Cheyenne. This is after they put her in a girdle or like a...
Girdle. No, it was a girdle. It was a shaping. She says that she... Yeah, go. I know what you're going to say. Go ahead.
Well, they're interviewing the little girl and she goes, I've been practicing sucking my tummy in.
Mm-hmm.
And just looks at the camera and it... I feel like crying right now. It seriously made me really upset because this girl is 8 years old. And she's already internalizing like hating her body or like feeling like her body isn't right.
And absolutely.
That is just so upsetting because I, you know, I have nieces that are that age and luckily, you know, they don't do stuff like this and they're not, they don't have that in their heads, but just knowing how young they are and the fact that this little girl is focusing on that instead of just playing and having fun and being a kid. And it just, it really upset me when she said that.
Oh, and she also added that her mother makes her wear a girdle at night. She puts her in a girdle while she's asleep.
I miss that.
All those little organs and her body's growing, and that's what the mother does. And I don't understand how these people aren't prosecuted for the way they treat the children. I just...
Yeah, yeah. This was also the nail salon moment. So they're going to get her nails done, and Cheyenne really wants the tips, you know, the acrylic tips put on. And the nail tech is like, oh, I don't do that on kids' nails because it can damage them and it's really not good for kids. And so the mom, at first the mom's like, okay, next time, next time. And then they go outside and Cheyenne's crying because she wanted the tips because she's a kid and she doesn't understand, you know, it's like she's just wanting what she wants. And because she's crying, and some parents, and I don't mean to like, you know, I'm not a parent, but like, there are parents where their kid cries and they just give in. They just give right
sure.
in. And she
sure,
does.
Sure, sure.
And she walks in and she goes, put the tips on. Put the tips on her.
Now. She said.
Yeah. She goes, her happiness right now is
all
most,
that matters,
yeah.
right? This
yeah.
is all that matters in the world.
Yep. She goes, the damage of not making her happy will be less than the damage that is done to her nails. And I was
You know what the damage is? Is that this child is going to grow up demanding and not understanding why she can't get anything and also be filled with absolute self-loathing. That's what the damage is. Because that's how she's going to grow up due to that mother's parenting.
Exactly. These kids feel like they're all probably feeling like they're never good enough because
of course not.
This little girl does great in the pageant, by the way. She wins a Supreme title. That's the whole thing. Supremes, like whatever. So she wins a Supreme title. It's not the very, very top title, but it's a good title. And all her mom can do is complain that it's not a higher title.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's so not good enough. Yeah, that was that episode.
Last one.
Yep.
Was season that yeah we're nearly there listeners listen we're trying to be peppy about this. It's just been a really hard week. First of all, you know, it's just all of this has been deep, really, really unpleasant and seriously unpleasant, but we're gonna get through this and then we're gonna go to the Wheel of Shame. We're gonna pick some good ones. We're gonna have a laugh again, so just bear with us with this episode. Okay, last one that we watched, season 1, episode 1, Universal Royalty National Pageant. Once again, this is one where they do the mothers and the daughters. Now, there is comedy in this because we're introduced to David. Yeah. There we go. Now, David. He was in the episode that we covered as well of Where Are They Now? Because he became a legend. Now, how to accurately explain David? We're introduced to him at the sewing machine, making all of his daughter Ava, who's 2, all of her costumes. He's a costumer. He's very
he does it all. Choreographer.
Flamboyant. That's the word I'm using.
Yes.
He's flamboyant. He's married to Tanya for now. And they have many children, which we found out in the Where Are They Now. Ava is 2 and he is out there with the flags. He is out there with the costumes. He's out there telling her how to dance, spin, give us this, give us that. And he says, you know, it's a joke in our family. If you want someone to change a tire, you'll go to my wife. If you want someone to make a dress, you come to me. There's not a lot we really, you know, need to add to that. Apart from if you're wondering what the dynamic in that family was, you will find out if you watch Where Are They Now, which we probably covered. He ended up The marriage didn't last. Now, I know you're all surprised. I know everyone was surprised after watching it. He said that he is open to dating. And, you know, his kids don't care, his sexuality, which is fantastic. He'd also lost half of his foot when we saw him, like, where are they now, due to diabetes, which the TLC camera crew kept focusing on, which was really disturbing. Mm-hmm. He'd lost a load of weight because he was quite overweight in this, but he was still making all of these costumes, and he was now making these costumes for drag queens, local, in the area. So he was still doing what he loved, and I think he was getting paid for it as well. So, and he still had all his kids around him who loved him, because I think they had like 4 or 5 kids. Mother wasn't in the picture anymore. I don't know with the children, she may be. I'm not sure about that, but they had divorced a long time ago, which nobody saw coming.
Yeah, he's honestly a really sweet guy. He sews the costumes, he does the choreography, he does the makeup, the hair. I mean, he is so into this, and he adores Ava. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it was quite funny because Ava won nothing. But what was funny... hang on. I'm so sorry. I had a bit of ice in my mouth. I'm so sorry. So Ava wins nothing, which isn't the funny part. But what's
loser.
Funny is that...
Just kidding.
Just a complete fucking loser. What it is what's funny is that they all pile into the car afterwards, and there's just a shot of him saying, "Oh, well, that's nice. They gave us a program." Just leave. That's literally thousands of dollars, thousands of hours of time that they put into choreographing, making these costumes, driving to God knows where in Texas, and he got a program out of it and they drove home. It was ever the optimist, David, ever the optimist. We salute you. We really do.
That's right. He did. He was excited about the program. And at he one was. Point he goes, so the wife competes in this competition too. Mm-hmm. And he kind of views them as his dress up dolls, sort of, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he does say, "My wife looks good for having had 3 kids."
I knew that was coming.
I was like, oh God.
Oh, okay.
Oh man.
And this was also the episode that the person that runs the competition, because they sometimes interview the people that are in charge, and actually most episodes, and they did that with the Universal, this one. And this was the quote. This is what she said, because they were talking, she was talking about, she seemed quite sensible at first, because she was saying, "I don't want these children spray tanned." She goes, "They should appear as they are." Great. Okay. And she goes, "I like one pieces, as in a swimsuit on a child, as opposed to bikinis." And I'm like, okay, all right, good. Because she says, "I don't want the little kids to look too sexy." I very, very, very poor choice of words. Very poor choice of words. And then we meet the male judge. Now, listeners, Kate. Mm-hmm. If anyone here is a fan of Always Sunny in Philadelphia, which you should be because it's phenomenal, there is a character, Charlie, which we all know and love, and he has an uncle. Charlie's uncle has always been a little bit too handsy with him. And when this male judge came on the screen, I thought it was this act. He was like the spitting image of the actor that plays Charlie's creepy uncle. He looked the same, he spoke the same, and I'm thinking, when did Always Sunny start? Like, did they use this guy as inspiration? And he comes on and he's just shifty-eyed. Like, none of this is an exaggeration, watch it. And he's only interviewed for like a couple minutes, and he's just like shifty-eyed, and he's just like, yeah, I'm known for being very harsh with the scoring. And it's just, eyes are everywhere. I was so uncomfortable with him.
Okay. I just googled Charlie's uncle in Always Sunny because I needed the visual, and
it's him.
Yeah,
it's him. It's actually him. It is, the actor is exactly the spitting image of this guy. And he, I mean, I would the rationale of this man that was in his 50s to spend his weekends looking at children on stage in swimsuits. There's nothing that makes sense in any of that. In this whole world of everything that doesn't make sense, that doesn't make sense unless there is some lascivious undercurrent. Why would anyone want to do that? Why would anyone want to spend their weekends doing that?
I don't know. And I wonder what these people say.
Well, you do know. Well, I mean, you do know.
Well, but I do know. But I don't know why any regular non-creepy person would want to do that, because what are you going to tell everyone in your life? Oh, yeah, sorry, I can't come to the family reunion. Oh, why? Because I'm going to be in a Hilton Garden Inn.
Looking at 3-year-olds in bikinis.
Yeah.
What? Sorry, Steve. What? Steve, listen, we've got massive rager of a party happening on Saturday. Tons of alcohol, loads of hot women. You know, we've got big get together. It's going to be raging, man. You great music. You're going to come down? Oh shit. You know, do you say Saturday? Oh shit. You know, can't do Saturday. Oh, come on, Steve. We love you. We need you. You're always the life and soul of the party. You're always talking about how much, you know, you love being around the youth. You don't want to come? Well, I can't, because I am judging a children's pageant. Oh, like on floats or something? No, it's more like in a hotel conference room where they have 3-year-olds dress up as prostitutes.
He's like, oh, sorry guys, I just really, really want to know if Meghan's gonna defend her crown as the reigning ultimate supreme.
I gotta be there. It is dedication to my art. I have to be at the Hilton Garden Inn. And by the way, this goes on all day. When I was watching this, these parents that take these kids, they get up, of course, these kids have to spend hours getting their hair and makeup done. They're up at like 6 o'clock. They're there all fucking day. And they get like crowned at like 8 p.m. at night. First of all, these children are exhausted beyond belief.
Yeah.
And just as a parent, I just come from it as like how much I would do for my child. And I would not do that. I'll tell you that. I would not do that.
No. I'd be like, hell no. We're going to the water park and then we're going home and you guys are going to watch.
Oh, no. I
Frozen.
Mean, I'd be leaving mine with the nanny. But I mean, you know, other parents might be. Yeah. I have brunch. I have a lot of stuff to do on a Saturday. The nanny or the au pair can deal with it. And
exactly. Yeah.
I'll be out in West Hollywood having a good time.
Exactly. What did you give this for pounds of learning? We give every show a rating on a scale of 0 to 600. I pulled this number from 600 Pound Life, which is one of the most popular shows on this network, as you probably know. So what did you rate this?
You know what, Kate? I didn't give it a rating, and I'm going to leave it at that. I gave it zero.
I also forgot to give it a rating.
Speaks volumes.
Yeah. I wasn't even really thinking about the rating. I was mostly just really sad.
Yes. There was so much anger and sadness this week. This was not a usual episode, guys. I mean, it was just so much anger and sadness and darkness that this Wheel of Shame, the gods better be upon us when we begin to spin. But Kate, do you want to rate it?
You know what? No. No.
Okay, good.
I don't.
We're not rating it anything. And TLC, this is not the last that you've heard of us and our petition of getting this off the air. I'm dead serious about this. It's appalling. It's appalling. This whole thing should not be viewed or experienced by anyone. And as frivolous as this podcast is, and as much as Kate and I have so much fun about taking the piss out of the eccentric characters in life and TLC, focusing in on them and possibly exploiting, this is an entire world of exploitation of the most vulnerable people in our society. and it needs to get taken off. So Kate and I will genuinely be, in all seriousness, doing something, anything that we can kind of do to contact TLC and just have our voice heard, because it's disgusting. It's disgusting. It should never be viewed by anyone. And that's the last we are ever going to speak of this monstrous show. Right, Kate?
Yeah. I mean, I think future generations are going to look back at this show and be like completely flabbergasted that this was a thing.
Well, I mean, it's already, the first episode is already over 10 years old or something. I don't know what it is, enough. So. It should never be mentioned again, and apart from protest against it. And Kate and I will be doing something, so stay tuned.
Yes.
All right. Let's get on to something fun. And Kate, what is that that's going to be fun?
We're going to spin the wheel of shame and find out what shows we'll be talking about next week.
Any feeling you're getting, Kate? Any feeling?
I feel like after this week, we deserve Alaskan women looking for love.
I know. Kate, I know. I feel it so badly, Kate. I feel it so badly. I just, for the Wheel of Shame gods that have been reasonably good to us, they've been good to us. We just are asking for something light and bright. Please, something light and bright.
Please.
Please. And as you know, listeners, each week we spin this the Wheel of Shame for two shows. So let's go ahead and spin it for the first one. Let's go, Kate. It's spinning.
Yes, come on.
Come on. Give us something beautiful, something fun, something frivolous, something... Oh.
What is it?
This is kind of annoying-ish. Okay. Huh. All right. Okay. We have got, we're kind of in the exact same situation as we were with Toddlers and Tiaras, because we got Toddlers and Tiaras, Where Are They Now? And then 2 weeks or 3 weeks later, we got Toddlers and Tiaras, as we just covered. The one that we have right now is My 600 Pound Life, Where Are They Now?
Oh.
So it's in reverse. Yeah. So it's the spin-off from My 600 Pound Life. Okay. We can't go against the Wheel of Shame. That's what it is, but it's just frustrating that we're going to have to kind of cover participants of a show that we haven't watched yet.
Right.
But that's what it is, Kate.
I mean,
okay.
The wheel has spoken.
The wheel has spoken. So the first show for next week, guys, My 600 Pound Life, Where Are They Now? So write that down, guys, and start watching that as soon as the potty has ended so you can be updated for us next week. And let's get another one right now. Let's get a good one. We're going to do fresh. We're going to spin it, Kate. You ready?
Yes, spin it. Come on, frothy.
Spinning. All right, we're going to get something really good. I'm not even looking. I'm looking at the wheel right now. I'm waiting until I hear the clicking end. No.
What?
No.
What? Is it My 600 Pound Life?
No, but that would be fucking amazing. Guys, what we have now is, I have mentioned last week's episode, I believe it was, the one before, we covered a show called Too Large. And I had mentioned that when Kate and I began just the birth of this podcast, we had to list all of the shows on TLC. And there were some that I was like crying, laughing at how ridiculous they were going to be. And Too Large was one of them, just because of that name, right? And this was another one that I thought TLC fucking gave up. I feel like they gave the reins to Jeff the PA on this one and said, create a show. And this is what he came up with. Are you ready?
Yes.
Toilet Paper Wedding Dress Challenge. That is the name of a television show. Now, I live in Los Angeles. I have friends, Kate has friends, multiple friends that are phenomenal actors, that are great script writers, create stories out of nothing. They can't get anything on a network. They can't pitch to anyone of any importance. Yet Toilet Paper Wedding Dress Challenge became a show on TLC. And the Wheel of Shame just gave it to us to watch. Kate, we have to check right now if that's even... Can we find that?
Yeah, let me check. Jeff, this paid for Jeff the PA's new car.
Yeah, Yeah, he went from a Nissan to a Toyota. I mean, he, you know, he got his stuff. He got his stuff. He got his stuff like improved. This can't actually be, and it's got to be a one-off. This was not a series. There's no way. There's no way there was a season.
Let's see.
Oh my god! Can you imagine?
It's on Hulu, I guess.
No, 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 no. No, 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 Kate.
How many seasons of this are there?
There can't, no, no, no. It's a one-off. It's a one-off. There's not seasons. Kate, you better be shitting me right now. What is it? Tell me.
First episode date, September 30, 2019.
What? Just before. So it caused the pandemic. Got it. Okay, something like this.
Okay, let me look at the overview here.
Yeah, because it's not on, because Kate and I have several apps that we check all these shit shows on. It's not on Discovery. So you're saying it's on Hulu? Why the hell would it be not on, it's a TLC show. Bear with us, listeners, because we if we don't find this, we, fingers crossed, we'll have to spin the wheel. Okay, so no, you can only watch the toilet paper wedding dress show. Oh god, watch with live TV on Hulu. Okay, I don't have that. I have Hulu, but I don't have live TV Hulu. And it's not on Discovery Plus either, Kate.
There's probably YouTube clips.
I'm trying to get out of this, listeners. I'm trying to get out of this. Toilet paper wedding. I don't want to go against the wheel of shame. Like, I don't want it to be like pissed off at us. Toilet paper wedding dress challenge. Okay, these incredible wedding gowns are made of toilet paper. Okay, there's 8 minutes of this clip. TLC, there's another 5 minutes.
One season.
Oh my god, this was actually a fucking show, guys.
TLC's, well, I bet toilet, it's really impressive, actually.
I don't, it doesn't, it could be.
I mean, it's not children with fake breasts on.
I know, anything. I know. I've really got to watch myself here. Okay, meet the finalists in toilet paper wedding. You know what I'm watching? On YouTube, there's a lot of clips from news stations that are covering this show. So I don't know what that says, but are we doing it? Is there enough to watch to give to our listeners is the question.
Well, 600 Pound Life, where are they now, will be quite a lot, I feel.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, all I can find, though, genuinely online is I have a 6 minute clip and I have a 5 minute clip.
Maybe we should spin again.
I think we're going to. This is the first time we've ever done this. And listen, we are not copping out, we're really not. We're not getting out of this because it's going to be boring. We just can't give you a lot of information if we have two clips. We can't give them good coverage, Kate.
Yeah, we have to be able to serve our dear listeners. So I will probably watch a clip of it just so we can kind of like see a little of what it is. But I think we should spin again.
All right, Kate's spoken. All right, I'm going to remove this from the Wheel of Shame. So we still have, and you know, and this week we only had one episode, one show as well. So we are due two full shows.
Right.
So, okay, I'm getting rid of this. We are still going to watch 600 Pound Life, Where Are They Now? We are going to go now and spin this wheel. And by the way, if this Wheel of Shame is like, well, fuck you, I'm going to give you something that has 15 seasons. If they give us 90 Day Fiancé, we're fucked. But, I'm going to spin. You ready?
I'm so scared.
I'm spinning. Oh, please give us a one-off. Wheel of Shame, please. And make it like a fun, light one-off. Yeah. Don't give us like a 90. Oh, wow. Okay. Okay. This is something. So we're going to watch my 600 Pound Life, Where Are They Now? And we're going to watch Conjoined Twins, Inseparable. Okay. Once again, we have to just check. We have to check it's on there, though.
I can get down
and,
with
and guys, I know this might be boring to you listening, but we, if we don't do this, then we end up halfway through the week texting each other being like, is this on here? I can't find it. Ooh, I don't know if it is. Conjoined. So it's called... Oh, yep, it is. We've got it. And it has... and it's... Oh, it's a one-off. Thank you. Wheel of Shame, yay! Thank you. Thank you, Wheel of Shame. Thank you. All right, listeners. So the Wheel of Shame has spoken. We have two shows for next week. 600 Pound Life, Where Are They Now? And Conjoined Twins, Inseparable, which is a one-off. A 42-minute one-off episode. All right, so now we have done that. We have got through... a tense time with the Wheel of Shame. We've got through a horrendous review of a horrendous show.
Yep.
Let's move on to the fun things, which are talking to you listeners about, first of all, saying thank you so, so much for listening. And, you know, as always, we want to plug our social media. We want to make sure that the biggest thing you can do for us if you're listening is just tell a mate. Like, tell your friend, you know what, I was listening to a podcast. There's a Brit and a Yank that talk about TLC shows. Yeah, doesn't sound that great of a concept, but listen to it. It's better than it sounds. Follow us on social media. Our Instagram and our TikTok is at Tender Loving Care Pod. At Tender Loving Care Pod. Our Twitter is TLC Poddy. Email us beautiful things at tenderlovingcarepod@gmail.com. tenderlovingcarepod@gmail.com. Kate, what would you like to plug this week? Anything you want to plug?
I would like to say that it's very nice if you want to give us a 5-star review on whatever app you use to listen to the pod. Also, I have a podcast, Mostly Bravo. Instagram is at Mostly Bravo. And you can check that out if you'd like. What else do you have to plug?
I would like to plug a range of objects I've created to fulfill my love of pop culture. So it originally started with a lot of Bravo stuff. If you're a Bravo fan, I have a range of t-shirts and notebooks that are all surrounding my deep, deep love of the Real Housewives all over the franchises. I also have other elements of pop culture, some infamous YouTubers. I'm bringing on some TLC stuff as well, which I will keep you updated with. But the best way to find everything is on my Instagram. If you go to A Brit in the Sun, A-B-R-I-T in the Sun, you can find me on Instagram. I have a link to my Etsy store there. You can see all the t-shirts, sweaters, notebooks, etc., etc. This has not been, I wouldn't say this was fun, this episode. I would say the Wheel of Shame was good. That was the section of the show that Kate and I had fun. The rest of it we got through because we are true trailblazers in the podcasting world when it comes to reviewing horrendous television.
It was nice and cathartic to just go through that with you, because watching it by myself, it was so upsetting. So to be able to just commiserate about how horrible it is was slightly healing for me. So
good.
I hope that was somewhat entertaining for y'all, and thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate you.
We really, really do. And you can always reach out to us at our email if you have any questions, suggestions, anything you want us to chat about. And once again, the best thing you can do, as Kate said, is go ahead, leave us a review, preferably 5-star, and tell your mates about the show, because it's the best thing you can do for us to just spread the word. All right. Well, you have your shows to watch next week. We will be back with you same time next week. And have a great week. Thank you so much for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.